This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What's up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire. For Monday, September 20th, another chaotic, crazy, heart-stopping Sunday in the NFL. I don't know about you guys, but the tension level just goes so through the roof on Sundays if you're like me, sitting around all day watching football. Now, I did have to take a detour during the afternoon game. Son had a soccer game, took him, left after the first quarter, took my daughter to her game. All the while, I'm watching Red Zone on my phone. And it's not the same experience because you're not, when you're usually watching at home, you got to follow on social in addition to watching and fantasy and gambling. And when you're watching Red Zone on the phone, you can't do all of it. So I get home just in time for the fourth quarter of Vikings and Seattle, Tennessee. So it was great. But it's funny, like everything that happened early on Sunday, I don't know about you guys, how you feel, but it was all wiped out because of the absolute cluster that was Ravens Chiefs. I still cannot believe last night's call, John Harbaugh screaming from the sideline at Lamar Jackson on fourth and three. Lamar, do you want to go for it? Lamar, I mean, you can't see him, but obviously he either nodded or shouted back, hell yeah, or F yeah, or whatever he said. And they line up, and Lamar takes it, and they get it in their own territory. The ballsiest call you will see, I don't know, maybe this season. You know, it's you could say dumb, people have done dumb things like Zach Taylor going for it as their own 30-yard line, up about one or two touchdowns. It ended up going to overtime. But this was against Mahomes and the Chiefs. And they didn't want to give Mahomes the ball back. Even though he had no timeouts, he would have probably had to get them in field goal range with maybe three plays, depending on how much time went off the clock. And Mahomes didn't even get a chance. And folks, I don't know about you, I'm stunned. I am stunned Kansas City lost. First Mahomes defeat in September in his career. First loss in September for Andy Reid, I believe, in 4 years. And it's not like Mahomes was bad. The Chiefs were not awful. The defense was quite bad, but they averaged 8.3 yards per play. They moved the ball up and down the field. The problem, of course, is one of two ways you can beat Pat Mahomes. One is you don't let him have the football, which is what the Ravens did. And basically, the Chiefs had the ball twice in the fourth quarter. The Ravens had an eight-minute drive. Lamar flipping into the end zone, no taunting flag. And sorry, I'm not going to do 15 minutes on the taunting rule, which is obviously garbage, but it helped the Tennessee Titans get a cover and ultimately a win, actually. Pretty crazy. The taunting rule, let's be honest, it's total garbage, and it just adds a next level of frustratedness if you're gambling, because Lamar Jackson flipping into the end zone is not taunting, but after you break up a pass and you stand up and look at the guy, they can deem that taunting. I don't understand. I mean, it doesn't kind of make sense. It doesn't seem fair, but here we are. Taunting in the NFL. It needs to be fixed. Obviously, that'll be one of the big flashpoints this week in the NFL. That will be one. The other one would be like, is Lamar versus Mahomes a rivalry? Folks, I don't know if you realize how close Lamar Jackson was to staring at 0-2. Now, they have the Lions this week, which is pretty much a bye for everybody. But they were close to looking at 0-2. We talked about it after the loss to the Raiders. The schedule is difficult. Lamar's looking for a big contract. The injuries are mounting. They lost two more starters on defense during the Chiefs game. And, I tweeted this, I think it was in the third quarter after the Travis Kelce incredible catch and just lumber. That's what he was doing. He was lumbering toward the end zone slowly, and the Ravens just missed a ton of tackles. By the way, tackling in the NFL was awful yesterday. I mean, the Jets must have let Damian Harris run through seven tackles on the touchdown run. Just very shoddy. And I don't know if it has to do with teams being depleted due to injury, but this does not look like a Ravens team. John Harbaugh's teams are always tough, great tacklers. You can't get by their linebackers. Their secondaries are sure. Like, I mean, they just look terrible against the Chiefs. I mean, DeMarcus Robinson. Who was the other guy? Byron Pringle. Catch and run. They must have had, I don't know what their yards after catch was. Maybe Rob G can bring that up. But the Chiefs just were basically going and doing whatever they wanted. And Tyreek Hill did nothing. Quick fantasy note. I'm trailing by like 22. I have Kelce. He has Tyreek Hill. I write it off. All of a sudden, Kelce gets that touchdown. I'm within three. Tyreek Hill's done nothing. And then, of course, Chiefs don't get the ball back, which killed me. But This is just not a good Ravens team. I mean, they'll take the victory, obviously. This is one of those huge splits where the entire public is betting on the Kansas City Chiefs. Everybody. I think it was like 85% of the tickets on the Chiefs. Ravens win. And you always see that on the Sunday night chase game, right? The public, oh, I've lost a lot today. I'm chasing. I got to take the favorite. And that didn't work out. And the house cleaned up again. Just a bizarre weekend. I don't know if I give Rob G like 10 minutes to just rant about his Raiders and their win. I'll talk about Pittsburgh in a second. But this whole, I just want to put a button on it. There is no rivalry between Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. Are the games great? Oh, yeah, they are. They are fun as hell. From a viewing perspective, they are thrilling. Without question, every year the game is fun. But is it a rivalry? At no point did anybody think, hey, man, I think the Ravens could win this. It's just not the reality. The Chiefs did not trail until there were 3 minutes and 14 seconds left in the game. Chiefs were either winning or tied the entire way. They just, again, Ravens played keep away. Final three possessions for the Chiefs, you had the Mahomes getting dragged down, throws a bad pass that was picked off. Ravens hold the ball for 8 minutes. Chiefs drive the ball. And just like the Patriots last week, where Damian Harris is inside the 10, about to get a win, probably cover the spread, and he fumbles. Well, Clyde Edwards-Helaire gets stripped by the rookie Oweh, the kid from Penn State. Ravens recover, and the Chiefs never get the ball back. And one of the big stats that is going to be a massive talking point all day today is the situation with Kansas City and covering the spread. Remember, this team was a juggernaut, destroying folks in 2018 when Mahomes was the MVP. The Chiefs are now 1-11-1 against the spread in their last 13 games. 1-11-1. Are they playing down to the level of competition? No. My spicy take here is that the league is so well set up to bring everyone back to the pack, right? The second you start to realize, oh, I've got a franchise quarterback, I've got to set up to pay him, I got to lose a left tackle here, I got to lose a guard here, I got to let this wide receiver go, and out goes one of my defensive ends, and then I lose a cornerback. And the league is really set up for parity. And the Chiefs, what you're seeing is they're coming back to the pack. From a point spread perspective, they're still the best team in the league. Although I guess right now you'd have to go Tampa 1, right? Kansas City 2. But the league is so well set up for parity and nobody running away and having a totally dominant run. Like, the Chiefs have had a good run. They've been to 3 straight Super Bowls. And they've been to 2 straight Super Bowls, right? They lost. They won the year prior, and they lost in the AFC title game 3 years ago to the Patriots. It's going to be difficult to get back. They're still the class of the AFC, but when you look at a team like the Chargers, who we'll get to shortly, they are going to be there. The Cleveland Browns are on the come up. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention. The Cleveland Browns are for real. They kind of sleptwalk through their win, but they're good. Hell, Rob G's Raiders. A little lucky. Hell yeah. Can this continue? I have a feeling they're going to be 3-0 if you look at the schedule. I don't think they're particularly good, though Derek Carr's been amazing. They got very lucky with what happened to the Steelers on the defensive line. I mean, losing 2 starters in the first half. Yikes. And then Carr just shredded the secondary. So I still think Kansas City is the class of the AFC, but there are going to be some growing pains. I also want to just wrap it up by saying, and Rob, you can feel free to disagree, I don't think Baltimore's particularly good. Lamar Jackson had an otherworldly game, 239 yards passing, 107 on the ground. But they were playing comeback the entire game. And I that's not sustainable over the course of the season, the way these guys have taken injuries. They had 2 turnovers in the first half to get in a hole, but in the red zone, 4-for-4. You get in the red zone 4 times and always deliver, you're going to have a chance to win. I still just don't think this is a rivalry just because Lamar's beat Mahomes once. I don't even think Lamar's the second best quarterback in the league. You know, when it was Brady versus Peyton, it was pretty clear those guys were 1-2. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. That was a rivalry. This has the teams are a rivalry, but head-to-head, there's no contest. Patrick Mahomes is a way better quarterback than Lamar Jackson. We don't even know if the Ravens are going to make Lamar their franchise quarterback. Great regular season quarterback, super talented, fun, exciting, but he's not anywhere near Mahomes' level. I don't know, Rob, do you see it the same way?
Oh, yeah, 1,000%. And actually, coming away from that game, I was less impressed by what I saw from Baltimore. Even though I do disagree with you, I think they are a good team. And I think that a lot of the doom and gloom that you and I painted earlier in the week, last week after that Monday night loss, may have been a little bit premature, because looking at their schedule now, I mean, Detroit, Denver, Indy, their next three, neither one of those three teams can score that well as much as the Raiders and the Chiefs can. So I think they'll be able to win those three games for sure. But, you know, I came away with it, came away from that game even more impressed by Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Now, their defense is terrible. I'm not going to say that it's not, but offensively, they are just at a different level than everybody else. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, including last night, has now only lost 9 regular season games in his career. In those 9 games, the opposition averages 36 points. So the only way that you're going to beat them is you're going to have to outscore them. You're going to have one of these Lamar Jackson, what is this, you know, he's done it, what, 4 times now, 200 yards passing, 100 yards rushing. Like, this isn't something that he does very often. He'll do it once every 10 games or so. You need that kind of performance to beat these guys in the regular season. You need to have a Jared Goff 50-point game on Thursday Night Football to beat them. You need something crazy to keep up with Pat Mahomes, because Pat Mahomes, consistently, they're going to get you 35 points a game. And I like that you said that there was no real rivalry between them, because I agree. And I also think that the fact that Lamar Jackson, the most recent unanimous MVP, the second time only in history, the guy who is going to rewrite the record books in a way that we thought Mike Vick would, but it wasn't. Lamar Jackson's that guy. And you and I don't even see them on the same plane. That says so much about what Pat Mahomes is and how talented he is and how great he is, that we're looking at guys who are very, very good. I mean, historically great numbers-wise, like Lamar Jackson. And we don't see them eye to eye at all.
Yeah, listen, it's okay. And here's the problem. People are going to hear this. I'm sure somebody will clip off something and it'll go on the Fox Sports account or whatever. And people are going to say, oh, you're a hater. You don't like Lamar Jackson. No, I like Lamar Jackson. Of course, I love him. Would I take him over Kyler Murray? No, I would take Kyler Murray in a heartbeat. Lamar Jackson, we saw that on 2 interceptions in the first half. The pick 6. I know we could say Watkins fell down, whatever. Lamar cost them the game against the Raiders with a fumble in the 4th, a fumble in overtime. He's going to be a roller coaster ride, and we've seen in the playoffs the struggles. He's very limited from a passing perspective. But that doesn't mean I don't like the guy. I like Lamar Jackson. Easy to root for. But I'm taking Kyler Murray over him in a heartbeat. And by the way, Kyler Murray is putting up video game numbers in Arizona. And I think if you're doing a straw poll for MVP, obviously Tom Brady's got to be in the mix. But Kyler Murray, through 2 games, 73% completions, 7 touchdowns, 10.1 yards per attempt. Oh, yeah, and by the way, 2 touchdowns rushing, 51 yards. I mean, the guy's just making plays happen at a ridiculous level. I think he leads the league in passer rating so far. But people are going to take that as a knock. Oh, you would take Kyler Murray over Lamar Jackson, but that's not the reality, right? I mean, Rob, I would think you would be in agreement with me. Yes, Kyler's small, but he's going to win from the pocket. I don't know if Lamar Jackson can.
Yeah, I mean, long-term, you definitely would rather have Kyler Murray. If it's just about winning one game, though, I'd probably take Lamar Jackson.
Well, is it a playoff game?
It's just that, you know, Lamar, his style of play is very unique, and you can't run it against every team. I think we've learned that. Like, if you're going against an explosive offense, it's really tough to run that style of play.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I mean, we saw the Browns run all over the Chiefs. We've now seen the Ravens run all over the Chiefs. This week, are we going to see the Chargers run all over the Chiefs? Like, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I already like the Chargers this week against the spread. Betting on Kansas City right now, you can't do it. You just can't. They're not covering the spread. The defense is garbage. And oh, by the way, people who want to say, oh, the Chargers are a joke, they lost to the Cowboys. This is funny. One of my best bets on Fox Sports, I wrote a piece, was over 55 in Chargers-Cowboys. And I'm sure you guys saw the final score, 20-17, right? Ah, Jason, way off, 37. Timeout. Look at the box score. The Chargers did not punt the football the entire game. Huh? Over 800 yards of total offense. One punt in the entire game. And it was 20-17. Why? Well, you could say coaching. You could say screw-ups in the red zone. You could say awful, horrible, terrible flag on Justin Herbert. He was down. I mean, the consistency or lack thereof, Rob. That call where they said Micah Parsons sacked Herbert back at like the 23 or whatever it was a joke.
Horrible.
Okay? Herbert got the pass off. Now, go look at what happened with Seattle. Russell Wilson, trying to avoid a sack, goes into his end zone, is going down and throws the ball away. And they say, no, he's down at the 1 yard line. What? I mean, anybody saw that, Russell Wilson was safetied on that play. And they just gave him the benefit of the doubt. The refereeing was so inconsistent and poor. I don't know. That was one of my other big takeaways. The taunting garbage. The refereeing was bad. The injuries. I mean, when do we start talking about Tua, Rob? I wanted to open the pod, guys, with the first call Miami should make Monday morning is not to Cam Newton. It's to the Texans and Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
Is he available? What can we do anything? Can we get some work here? Because Tua, who was injured at Alabama and was pulled a couple times last year, is already injured. Was first quarter, took a hit or two to the ribs from the Buffalo Bills, and that's a wrap for Tua. Carted off. They had no chance. I mean, the Buffalo defense is nothing great. Jacoby Brissett was a comedy of errors back there in the pocket. I'm guessing Cam Newton will get a call from Miami, but I think the move should be let's go after Deshaun Watson. You've got to make a play for him. Like if Miami thinks, hey, we've got a team that can contend, we beat the Patriots, we're a quarterback away, then you've got to call Watson. I don't know what that will do from a league perspective. Like, Rob, what does the league do if the Houston Texans trade him to Miami and Miami says, well, I know the Texans didn't play him, but he's healthy and we're starting him. What does the league do? Can they hold him out?
They better not.
I mean, what do they do?
Set the precedent. As soon as they decided that they were not going to throw him on the commissioner's exempt list, they set these wheels in motion. They set it up for somebody to lose a quarterback midseason, in this case Miami, and for Houston to be able to finally get those three first rounders and three second rounders or whatever combination, whatever reporter that you follow. As soon as the NFL decided not to put on the commissioner's exempt list, they set this up to happen. All right? If the NFL knew what they were doing or even just followed the precedent that they set for themselves 5-6 years ago, you know, with Tom Brady, he would have been on that list already, just sitting there, getting paid. But you know what? While this is going on, this is a serious investigation. We're going to pay you to sit aside. And instead, they decide, well, you know, this is still playing out. We don't want to rush the judgment. I don't know why they decided to give Deshaun Watson and his 20-plus sexual assault charges the benefit of the doubt. But
Hold on. Are they I think there's only three charges and the rest.
Allegations.
Yeah, right.
Allegations. But Tom Brady deflating footballs. No. We definitely got to suspend this guy. Yeah. We're not going
to
wait.
Just to give you a perspective on how bad Miami was. Obviously, they got shut out. I was facing the Buffalo Bills in two fantasy leagues. Unbelievable. So pissed. They did not have one explosive play. And explosive plays over 20 yards all day. Not one. Zero rushes explosive. Zero passes. It was all check down stuff. They were clearly not ready. And I don't know, guys. I mean, listen. If you're trotting out Jacoby Brissett, he was sacked four times next week. You're going to have some problems. This is just not a winning solution. I think you've got to call. You've got to call Houston. Now, I don't know how the reaction will be among the fan base or certain media outlets, but I bring this up because the Miami Dolphins travel to Vegas to face Rob G's Raiders in what's suddenly like a big showdown. And the Raiders are 2-0. I don't want to take the shine away, Rob, from your Raiders. Hey, Carr was splendid once again. I think against the Ravens and Steelers. Historically good defenses. He has been nails. Carr has to be in the MVP discussion. Again, it's 2 weeks. It doesn't matter. But Rob, Peyton Barber. I'm like, Peyton Barber? Is that the white dude from the Tampa Bay Bucks? He's still in the league? No, I got that wrong. That was Peyton Hillis, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So Peyton Barber was on the Washington practice squad earlier this month. He had 13 carries for the Raiders. No Josh Jacobs. I guess there's no trust in Kenyon Drake. And they just said, you know what? We're going to fling it all over the field. And as soon as the big kid on the defensive line, Alu, is that his name?
Correct.
He went down with a broken ankle. And then Watt, who remember, was holding out for the money, had a good game in the opener. I guess he went too hard, pulled the groin, and they had zero pass rush in the second half. None. And so what do they have to do? Just what the Ravens did last week. Well, we got a blitz. And guess what? Your little white guy, Hunter Renfrow, is so good at getting open. You know, I think his nickname was 7-11 because he's always open. He must have had at least three third down catches. Waller was like a non-factor. Henry Ruggs torching him. Brian Edwards was there. Derek Carson has had a really, really good start to the season. And a quick shout out. I know the Raiders defense has been pretty bad historically, but they beat up Lamar Jackson last week. And this guy, Max Crosby, had 5 quarterback hits this week. They had 10. They hit Big Ben 10 times. I'm surprised. I got to be honest, Rob. I'm surprised they're 2-0 given that early schedule. And you have to start feeling yourself a little bit, right? I mean, pretty soon they're going to be facing the Bears and the Eagles. They do face the NFC East. You know, that means a lot of travel, but it also means some bad teams. As we saw, NFC East is some bad football. How are you feeling about your Raiders?
I'm feeling good. You know, this week we get Miami. I'm assuming Tua is not going to play. So, you know, that should be a 3-0 team. But the problem is that the Raiders the last two seasons have gotten off to great starts only to fizzle down the stretch. And if you just look at their schedule there at the end, Chiefs, Browns, Broncos, Colts, Chargers to close out the last, you know, 5 games. That's a tough string. And it's weird that you brought up them not being able to run the football. I think even with Josh Jacobs, they wouldn't have been able to run the football against Pittsburgh. Their first part of their schedule is loaded up with teams that are good at stopping the run. And for anybody, like I told you guys earlier last week, who thinks that Derek Carr is not a upper echelon quarterback, you're finding out very quickly. Because he's not doing this in the context of the offense, where it's like, hey, we're running the football, we can play action, he's hitting these deep crossers, blah, 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 blah. He's doing it knowing full well that they cannot run the football against these two teams. He's doing it knowing full well that your best receiver is a 5'11 white guy who runs like a 4.7 40. They call him Third and Renfrow, by the way, not 7-11.
Third and Renfrow.
That's what they call him.
I like
so it. Pittsburgh made a conscious effort to take away Darren Waller because he is their best offensive player. And you brought a good point. He was very invisible up until like a big 30-yard catch there.
Yeah, I think
he
had one target in the first half. Yeah. Maybe one catch, one of those.
Really had him locked down. And it didn't matter because Derek Carr is really, really, really good. He can sling it with the best of them. And he has this understanding now of the Gruden offense where he'll throw it to the third string tight end. He'll throw it to the fullback. He'll hit Willie Snead, who had the pass off his hands in the end zone. They got intercepted against Baltimore. That led to the second win they had to get, you know, because they should have won it earlier before. They didn't win it twice. But he goes to him on a key third down. Like, he's not one of these guys who's going to zero in on a Davante Adams because he doesn't have one, or a CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper because he doesn't have one. He doesn't have the weapons at his disposal at some of these other quarterbacks, and you would never know by watching him play. Because he can win these shootouts with Pat Mahomes. You know, the Raiders were the only team last season to beat Pat Mahomes. You know that?
The Raiders...
15-1, Kansas City in the regular season. The Raiders almost beat him twice. They scored 40 in one
that's
game
right, that's right.
And almost beat him again at the end. Derek Carr and his mishmash unit of wide receivers and castoffs went toe-to-toe with Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. So I'm glad once again that people are seeing how good he is. I just want to temper my expectations a little bit because we have a history.
I was so thrown off by the one loss. So you're right. They beat him. And then they lost week 17, but their starters didn't play.
Right.
So you're right. That's right. They did win in KC. I remember that. That was a monster win.
And that was one where they put up 40 points.
Yeah.
Which goes back to the beginning story. You have to score 40+ to beat the Chiefs.
Basically, yeah. 35-40 to beat the Chiefs. Unless it's the Super Bowl and their offensive line is in shambles.
Right.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Listen, I'm sure some people are here for me to just dump on the Jets. Not going to happen. Zach Wilson, rough game. Belichick against rookie quarterbacks. We talk about it at length. I am kicking myself. I went 2-3 in the $4 million contest. Not a great start, guys. 5-5. It's early, and a lot of people did not do well this week, so I'm fine. But I'm just so friggin' pissed at myself. When we had David Baker on Friday, awesome guest, you heard him say that the Bills were the side. And I listened to it again. I told myself, oh, Bills. Yeah, I had looked at Miami, and I'm like, no, it's a great point. Sometimes when you talk to smart people, you hear stuff you had not considered. I wrote down the Bills. At the last minute, I pulled the Bills. Ah, stung. Had the Steelers, which was just, that one hurt. I was dumb. Carolina hit for me. Tennessee came through for me. The Rams. Rams were totally controlling that game. Carson Wentz can't get out of his own way with making stupid mistakes. And then he gets hurt at the end. Rams win by 3, but the line was 3.5. So it's a tough one for me. The picks I gave out on Fox were good. I actually won money on the day, but the picks I gave out did not, on the contest, went 2-3, which really hurts. It's just frustrating as hell. I did hit a big teaser that I put on the Fox, on the Fox picks. I will close out with this. Listen, when you're right, you do the victory lap, you pat yourself on the back. When you're wrong, you kind of sit on it and own it. And I don't want to say that I was way, 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 way off on this, but it's starting to look like I may be way, way off on this. But holy hell, the Jacksonville Jaguars can't do shit on offense. I mean, at all. So they get the ball against the Broncos. They go right down the field. You know, the scripted series, the one you work on all week. Boom, touchdown. All right. Let's go. They didn't get back into the red. They didn't get into the red zone the entire day. They got a long touchdown on that opening drive to the receiver Jones, and they're like, "All right, we got this. We look good." They did not get into the red zone the rest of the game. They were bad on offense. Trevor Lawrence was nails on the first drive. After that, he could do nothing. Folks, I'm afraid to like sit here with a calculator and crunch the numbers if you remove that opening drive. It was that bad. I know that the box score says, oh, they got another touchdown. Jay, what are you talking about? No, it was a kick return touchdown where the guy broke like 5 tackles and the Broncos screwed it up. Denver's good. Trevor Lawrence, I don't want to say that Urban Meyer's ruining him. It's way too early for that. And the division is very bad. Tennessee got a win. The Texans lost their starting quarterback. And the Colts are 0-2. And the Colts may have lost Wentz. Jacksonville is against the Cardinals this week. Arizona's defense got shredded by Kirk Cousins. So maybe this is a get-right spot for Trevor Lawrence. I'm seeing the line already over a touchdown. Jacksonville is really, really not looking good so far. And listen, I said they would win the division. And here's the funny thing. The division is garbage, and it's not over. But they have a massive hill to climb, given the loss to the Texans and looking anemic. And then you could say, well, Jay, the Broncos defense is really good. And it is really good. But they were down a couple guys, and I didn't think the Broncos defense played particularly well. They're good, but they only sacked Lawrence once. Patrick Surtain started, the rookie. So, I mean, they only hit Trevor Lawrence 3 times. They've got this quick, let's get the ball out of the pocket, and that's fine. But, I mean, they just can't move the ball. They had the tight end get hurt on, I believe, the opening drive, did not return to the game. O'Shaughnessy, maybe they'll call Tebow back. What's his name? Laviska Shenault, injured. We don't know his status. Like, they're getting beat up, and it just, you just... You know, Rob, you know how awesome Trevor Lawrence looked at Clemson? Like, anytime he dropped back in the pocket, like, okay, a play is happening. They're going to make something happen here. He's going to move the football. They're fine. I see no confidence whatsoever in Lawrence and that offense. Now, Brian Schottenheimer is the OC, and I know his time with the Jets. He's not good. I know his time in Seattle. They didn't like him. It's just, Jacksonville, please get your act together. I don't really have a bet as we wrap up on Monday Night Football, at least not a sizable one. I have the Packers minus 10.5, minus 11, but it's not big money. So I'm not going to say go out and drop a dime on the Packers. It's favored by double digits on Monday Night Football. I do think they win this game. I will be on alert for the Packers have major problems along the lines of the Jags if they don't win this game convincingly. Detroit is a dumpster fire, and I know it's a divisional matchup, but I mean, if Aaron Rodgers can't get right against the Lions, oof, they got problems. All right, Rob, any final thoughts?
Big shout out to former Straight Fire guest Daniel Kelly. Remember, he was a former Jets scout who said before the draft that Trevor Lawrence should not be taken in the first round.
Oh
my guy's taking a victory lap in my DMs as we speak. Just saying.
After two games, yes, he's doing a victory lap?
Yes, he is.
Goodness gracious. I don't think we really missed anything. Oh, Jameis Winston, you could tear up those MVP tickets if you were dumb enough to buy one. Sorry, I just had to say that. A lot of Saints fans really getting angry at me. No Dolphins fans in my mentions Sunday night. I don't remember that. I haven't seen any this morning either, Rob. Have you? Dolphins fans?
No.
I don't know where they are.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero.
Interesting. Also, if you're going to look for one video from yesterday, I don't know, you know, the dog pound in Cleveland just gets rowdy and dumb. Funny video of two guys fighting by toilets. Two guys who are like 75 pounds overweight, just throwing terrible haymakers and missing. It's ugly. It's laughable. Nobody gets really hurt, so you can laugh about it. But I just, Rob, I haven't been to an NFL game this season yet. I just don't know what the mentality of is. Hey, you know what? Let me put my beer down. Let me just give my wallet and keys to my friend. I'm going to throw fists here in the parking lot with this other guy who I don't know. And he's a Brown. We're both wearing Browns gear. What goes through their mind?
Nothing.
I don't know.
Nothing at all.
That's probably the right answer. All right, folks, we will catch you tomorrow. Peace.